This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Knicks Recap Podcast. And of course, you already know, if you're not subscribed already, this is the place to be. Hit that subscribe button, definitely turn notifications on so you don't miss a second of any of our new content, like the lives that we have going on right now or any of the new videos. Now, I was thinking to myself, I want to review the season, and I also want to talk about the offseason. Now, how do I do that? How do I think about doing that? What's the best way? And then I thought, a legend. Let me talk to a legend. So emailed one of my great guests, one of my best guests, actually. 23 years he's covered the Knicks. Legendary New York Post journalist, Mark Berman. I am so happy to have you with me and so happy you're joining the show today. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing great, Troy. It was definitely an interesting season, and Knicks fans still parsing it over. There's so much to parse over.
there really, really is. And I think when we think about it and we just look at everything that the Knicks have gone through, and we actually had a very funny insider actually to start the, before the show started, because I sent you a series of questions as I normally do. And to kick off this particular show, I kind of want to talk about the season we just had before talking about the off-season plan. So really, we're going to talk about the Knicks season review. And in this review, I want to talk about more or less your grade for the Knicks and their season and what you thought about what they did. Now, for me, when I sent you the questions, I called the season magical. Now, I want to explain why I said that, because you did give me you said it's going to be fun when I did mention that comment. I said it was going to be magical because of the fact that Jalen Brunson turned into a superstar right before our eyes. And also with the litany of injuries we were dealing with, there's no way. We had no business taking the second seed and going all the way we did in the playoffs. So that's why I called it magical. But you know what? The people are not here for me. Shout out to the chat gang. I see you guys live and active. They're happy for you, Berman. They're welcoming you back, I guess. They want to know your thoughts. So the floor is yours. What did you think about the Knicks season and what grade would you give them?
Yeah, I was amused by the term magical. You know, the Celtics are amidst a magical season and they're going to win their 18th NBA championship. The Knicks only have two, and they haven't had one in 51, now going on 52 years. So magical wasn't the word that I would use for 2023-24, but now I understand what you're saying. It was magic that they were able to go that far considering the injuries. But in the big picture, listen, I give it a B+. I know there's some fans who would go A-, but I mean, it's about breaking the championship curse. I feel that the Knicks fans' standards has gone a little bit down since the late 90s when it was about winning the title. And I almost felt that, listen, everyone loved this team. They love these guys. They love the chemistry. They love the defense and the grit. But they got blown out in game 7 of the second round. That's not magical to me. Blown out from the first quarter on. And it was injuries, ultimately. They could not stand the loss of Josh Hart. But that's part of it. Part of the being a great team in the NBA is staying healthy. Ability and durability. Those are the two things that even GMs don't factor in when they hand out ridiculous contracts. And the media, when they analyze who the Knicks should go after. And I'm all about durability. Yeah. I don't care that the Knicks had a great record with OG. He wasn't there for the Indiana Pacers. RJ Barrett actually would have been there. He's been very healthy and very durable. But I'm just saying that a magical season to me is at least getting to game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics.
Right. And I think, for me is, I understand getting all the way there is magical. And I guess that's a good way to put it, because if they got there with all the injuries that they had, it definitely would have, I think, would have been miraculous if they were able to do that. But here's the thing for me, the fact that they were able to do that with all the injuries they had, and even though they were dealing with injuries going into the Pacers series, OG got injured within that series. And before he did, he was having I think he was having his best game as a Knick. He was breaking out for me. So I thought that in, you know, totality with everything else was just amazing. So just going into really the next topic here is just going to be about OG Anunoby, because you sent out a tweet and I actually want to bring it up because where is that? So you mentioned the tweet here saying resigning OG was likely because Leon's son is one of the CAA agents. OG missed stretch of 27 of 30 regular season games due to injury. Then almost all of the second round. Is he in good enough shape, availability, and durability skill set wise? And then you hashtagged it as how you. So I just wanted to know what is the how you movement that you've been doing, because I've seen it. And also just your thoughts about OG Anunoby, if he's going to resign, because again, the thought about it is that he's likely going to resign for about 35 to 40 million annually. And that would be a lot of money to give to a player, as you mentioned a couple of times, has missed a lot of chunk in time when the games matter. So I do want to get a little bit more information from you just regarding your thoughts on OG Anunoby. Will you think he's going to resign with the Knicks? And what do you think that price point's going to be?
Right. So everything about OG is durability, in my opinion. He's a fine fit. Obviously, their record was outstanding with him. He doesn't need the ball. When he gets the ball, he hits the open three. Obviously, he's a great team defender. Help defender. He's got that position that they've been missing. They traded for Cam Reddish, thinking that could be that fit, that combo forward, small forward, power forward. But it's about durability. He hasn't played 70 games since his rookie year with the Raptors. And I think Masai Ujiri finally decided it's time to move on. The guy has been injured a lot. And then he comes to New York, and sure enough, elbow injury, and then the hamstring. And that tweet about, is he in good enough shape? That's something I heard. I heard that maybe he hasn't been in the best shape during his career, and that's possibly why he's been injury prone. Steph Bondi, my successor at the New York Post, had a nice piece during late in the season. He doesn't like to play hurt. He came out for that game 7 against Indiana, he had a couple of shots, but he was so tentative. Thibodeau just could not play him. He played 4 or 5 minutes and that was it. He wasn't willing to test his hamstring. I think he was afraid of seriously injuring the hamstring again, but it was game 7. So they couldn't play him. But listen, if it wasn't for Leon's son, I think the Knicks would have a very tough decision on how much to give this guy when he's been so injury prone. He's a very good fit, but is he a third best player on a NBA Finals team? I mean, durability wise, I'd say he's not the third best player, because if he's not available, then what good is he? But he happens to be a great fit. And with Leon Rose and CAA, and they run the Knicks, I think he'll get his $35 million. I don't think he's worth it. I think it's a big risk. And I do believe, and I think maybe Fred reported it, and I was thinking it for sure, that contract better have a lot of incentives regarding games played.
Right.
I mean, that has to be, I feel that to get his full $35 million a year, it's got to be 70 games. And listen, he's never had a full season with Thibodeau, who will play you major minutes. And that's why I feel that if you sign OG, and even with Josh Hart finally breaking down, you have to talk to Thibodeau and set up a new plan on minutes management. My biggest pet peeve when I covered Thibodeau was, why is he having these guys in the game when they're up 20 points with 5 minutes left? Give him a break. It's February in Detroit. If you blow the lead with your bench in Detroit in February, well, it's a loss and you deserve to lose. He's got to manage these guys' minutes better. It's a marathon, not a sprint. OG will get his money. I think that Sixers story was a plant by CAA. to show James Dolan, hey, you're not bidding against yourselves. There is another team out there with cap space that would give OG at least $30 million.
You know, the thing with OG Anunoby, and I agree, I've always had a difficult time pegging his value just because of the availability, because I always think that's such a crucial factor, because I can say the same thing about Joel Embiid, superstar, MVP level player. But then when the chips are down and you need him the most, what level of player are you going to get? And that's the concern, I think, anytime you pay somebody like that. I did hear Fred Katz, Bondi, and also Bagley, all of the guys, basically report on the fact that they're looking to put some type of incentive into the contract to hopefully prevent from the injuries. But again, when you have to include those type of incentives to a contract, that also determines the worth and value of the contract. So I am very interested to see what he's going to get. But the fact that Sam Rose is his agent, I think he's going to get very well paid, maybe not overpaid, but definitely a little bit more than maybe other teams may have thought about paying him. But when we're talking about payments, Mark, I think this is the best part about it, because even though OG Anunoby is somebody they have to resign, right? And also with iHeart, that's something else they have to do. They should probably also resign him as well too. Hopefully they can. But before they get to that, they also have some decisions to make regarding Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. So according to ESPN's front office insider, Bobby Marks, he breaks down that Brunson's extension maxes out this summer at 4 years, $156.5 million, $39.1 million annually. But if he waits till 2025, his max is 5 years, $258 million, 51.6 average salary for that. With Julius Randle, it's a little bit different, because right now he has 4 years, $190 million that he can get an extension for. If he waits, he can get an extension worth more than around $300 million. So the Knicks definitely have some decisions to make regarding extensions. Just regarding these two extensions, Randle took less before, Jalen's on a bargain contract now. Number one, do you see either of these guys taking less in terms of an extension? And if not, what do you think these guys are going to settle down in terms of extension with the Knicks? What do you think that final number is going to be?
I mean, it's the final number doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is, does it put him over that second apron when they do these extensions? And if they re-sign OG and iHeart, Hartenstein, Is it going to put them in that horrible salary cap situation where they're over the second apron? And what that means, and I'm not an accountant, but it's going to be very tough to make a blockbuster trade.
Yeah.
And they have all this draft capital. That's why there's a feeling you better make this blockbuster sooner than later before you're over the apron, because Randall's going to get paid and Brunson's going to get paid. And that's why, with the numbers you were throwing out for Randle, he's going to be 30 years old next year. He hasn't been very durable the last couple of years, injured in the playoffs, with the ankle situation and a season ago, and then obviously going down late in the year. Not even late. I think it was late January or early February.
Right.
But 30 years old next year, he's got a lot of mileage on him. Again, rookie year he missed with an injury. So I feel that you have to trade Julius. I don't want to give him that kind of extension, not with the signs of him breaking down. And I honestly believe, and I think, you know, I've always been a Julius fan, right, but in those playoffs and late in the season, I saw Jalen Brunson seem like a freer player without Julius on the court. I mean, to score, was it 40 straight points in four straight games in the playoffs?
It was. I think he actually had a little bit more. I think it was almost five. I think he had five straight. I believe
five straight
so.
Games of 40. Okay. I mean, that's like incredible.
That's Jordan-esque. That's
and
ridiculous.
And it was helping the team win.
Right.
It wasn't like Carmelo Anthony's 40 points in a loss. So I felt that Jalen, it kind of hit me. It's like, you know, I think Julius may get in the way of this incredible rise of Jalen, because I love Jalen. I love the way he's clutch. I love the grit. I think Julius, unfortunately, has never performed in the playoffs. So my theory is you got to trade Julius sooner than later before he gets that extension. I think it's going to be tougher to trade him if he has that extension in his wallet already.
And you see, I think this brings us to a really good point. Before we get to the trades, and I definitely want to get to that, you know, last time I asked you, when Julius Randle left CAA the first time and he joined WME Sports, I asked you if it was significant. And at the time, you told me yes. So now I'm going to ask you again. He left WMB Sports after around 6 months, and now he is back. He is back bound, back with CAA. And really, I don't remember the last time I've seen a player leave the only agency he's known since entering the league for a different agency, and then a couple of months later, leave that same agency and go back to the agency he's always known. So what do you think about that move from Randall? And do you think it's significant for him moving back to CAA now?
I don't think it's very significant, but I do think something changed.
Right.
RJ Barrett was traded to Toronto. I almost felt that Randall joined Bill Duffy, and who is RJ's agent. I thought that, like, maybe they'd be a package where Bill would try to do the best for both of them, because there was a lot of concern. Does RJ and Julius Mesh both left-handed?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Players both have a lot of similarities on the offensive end, and maybe they didn't have a great chemistry. So I almost thought that having Bill in control of the two of them, he could do the best for each of his players. Now RJ's gone, and I think Julius realizes with CAA, which runs the Knicks, they're going to do the best for him, and they're going to do the best for the Knicks. I think it's a combination. I think he's just more comfortable with CAA. He's been there his whole career, and I think he knows they're going to do good by him. And whether that stays with the Knicks or moves him to a better place, he knows they're not going to betray him. I don't think he knew Bill very well when he signed up with Bill Duffy. But I don't think it's very – I think it's more that RJ got traded to Toronto, so it wasn't the same circumstances.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I didn't put that together, actually, with RJ leaving, and if that was the case, if Randall would want to move as well. So that's actually a pretty good kind of explanation in regards to how, why he went back to CAA. And hopefully, I thought he went back there. When I heard the news, I just thought, okay, in my head, the only way he's going back there is if some type of explanation went down where next time you are up for a contract extension, we're going to take care of you. You're not going to have to leave any money on the table or whatever the case would be. I assume something like that was probably said. Do you think anything like that is probably was spoken about?
I mean, one way or another, they're going to do good by him, whether it's part of an extension and him part of the long-term future,
right,
or putting him in a good spot with another team. I think he trusts CAA so much that he thinks it will work out in the end. Does Julius want to get traded? Listen, he knows it's tough to play in New York, especially when you're not playing very well. He saw that team really take off without him. So I'm wondering if he – listen, he's from Dallas. You know, they may need a piece. It doesn't look like they're going to win the championship. They may need a final piece to the puzzle. But listen, I think that Julius I don't see him as a long-term piece. I know January was fantastic when they were all healthy.
Yeah.
But it was a weak schedule, and it was only a few weeks. So it's tough to, like, say, okay, this is, you know, going to work long-term. Again, durability issues with Julius and his age, I'm a little leery of that extension.
So really the next topic I want to get into, and really the main topic, because I love talking about this stuff. It is almost the offseason. And really talking about the Knicks offseason plans, really their trade targets. Last when we spoke, we threw out a lot of names. It's funny now looking back at some of those names. Some of the names are no longer relevant anymore, while some might still be relevant. One of the players we talked about last time, I think it caused a, a fireball throughout the Knicks Twitter nation when you said Zion Williamson and the Knicks had checked in on Zion at the time. And right. And obviously, you know, seeing what happened with this year, he had a phenomenal year. Unfortunately, he went down with injury in the playoffs. And I think if he had played, New Orleans would have went really, really far because he was having such a sensational season. So I just wanted to know, based off of things that you're hearing, because I know obviously you still have people well-connected in the Knicks that you talk to that you know, what are you hearing in regards to the Knicks, potential trade targets that they're looking at right now, and potential free agency plans?
Yeah, well, with Zion, I mean, you know, he also had the contract extension that had incentives regarding games played.
Yes.
So the Knicks are trying to become more durable. So getting Zion makes them less durable. So I don't think that's a big thing on the radar anymore. And, you know, Paul George has been talked about a lot. Another player who gets injured a lot. He feels like a good piece. But I feel if you have OG healthy, I don't know if Paul George makes a lot of sense, only because I'm afraid he would get injured too. I think the Knicks want to be a more durable team next season. I mean, the free agency is about the mid-level exception, and it looks like they'll probably have $12 million, maybe the non-taxpayer exception. And listen, Kyle Lowry is out there, and, you know, to take a little pressure off Jalen, I know Tibbs loves Lowry. And, to you know, he was a backup with Miami, and if you remember that Miami series.
Oof, man.
All Thibodeau would talk about was, well, you know, I mean, Miami has Kyle Lowry as a backup point guard. I mean, that's an amazing thing to have. And so to have Kyle back up Jalen would be an enormous pressure off Jalen having to play 44 minutes. He still plays defense and he's been durable, even though he has knee injury concerns, he's played.
Right.
Listen, there's a lot of mid-level guys, not superstars. Kyle Anderson is another great two-way defensive player who stays healthy. If they lose Hardenstein, you know, Looney might be bought out by Golden State. He's a terrific rebounder. One of the beautiful things about this Knicks playoff run and the late in the season was the rebounds, the extra chances they got. And that's why Hardenstein, if they could just keep Hardenstein, but I don't know if they can.
Right.
$16 million a year may not, $16 to $7 million, $17 million a year is the most they could offer as a starting salary. And, you know, it's been reported about Oklahoma City may be interested, mm-hmm. as well as others. He is a rare find, the old school gritty center. He has a little 10 footer. He goes after the basketball. He's got a nose for the ball. I mean, he was a real central part of the fabric of this tough Knicks team. And it's going to be a shame if they lose him. Because Mitchell Robinson, again, on the durability scale, is at the bottom.
Yes.
And I would rather have Hardenstein. I know Robinson was getting offensive rebounds galore. But if I need an offensive rebound, one offensive rebound to win a game, I'd rather have Hardenstein on the floor than Robinson. I mean, that's how gritty this guy is. But anyway, so there are some centers that you could fill in. I mean, Jericho Sims, it looks like he's not improving that much. And, you know, you're probably going to bring him back. But I think if they lose Hardenstein, it's a devastating blow. But, you know, in terms of free agents, as a mid-level exception situation, it's not a great field. But again, the Knicks are just trying to be healthier, and they need to sign someone who's going to stay healthy.
See, the thing is with me, I think with the Knicks and trade targets, I feel like this is the last, maybe not the last year, but at least the year, because they're primed right now. They made the trades for OG. They kept all their first round picks. They have an option with Bogey's contract, which I feel like that's going to be something that they need to make a decision on, because they could use that as a trade asset, obviously before July 1st or after, depending on what they want to do. So I think they're primed to make a move. But to your point, who's the move going to be for? Because there are a number of different players we can talk about, but they're not available. We have to wait for them to be quote unquote disgruntled, right? And speaking about that disgruntled star list, ESPN did release a list. I saw you comment on it, and you know I have to bring it up. KD was on that list. And I remember at the time you released a tweet at the time, and a lot of people, Mark, they missed the first half of it, like they always do. They look at the thing that always elicits the most clicks, and they forget to look at the part that creates that, right? So you started off the tweet by stating, Scott Perry once told you that the Knicks, it's about winning one title to snap a drought, not a dynasty. So you trade draft capital and Julius Randle for Kevin Durant. Knicks have two first rounds, obviously, this year, 24 and 25. Next month, KD can lift them to a title if Thibs doesn't run him to the ground. And then you follow that up by saying your timeline suggests KD does not do that. But he says KD played 75 games. OG never played 75 games. He averaged 27.1 points, 52.3% shooting. You gave a lot of stats here. You said he lost the potential titleist in mini, has two rings, and has two final MVPs. So safe to say, if Kevin Durant was available, I think you'd want the Knicks to go after him. Could you explain a little bit about that regarding Randle and KD and why'd you want to make that move?
Yeah, I was very surprised how anti-Durant Knicks fans are. And it's more personal
yes.
than basketball.
Right.
I mean, this most of my mentions or responses were, I don't want to win a title with Kevin Durant. I was like, wow. Listen, he did chicken out in New York back then. I really believe that. He didn't want the enormous pressure of being the Knicks savior. But I think right now, as you know, his handler is Rich Kleiman, who desperately wants him to be a New York Knick. Mm-hmm. He didn't want him to be a Brooklyn Net. And I'm sure now more than ever, because the Sun situation just seems a little clunky. The chemistry was not there. I don't think they really love playing with each other, those guys. Bradley Beal, to me, is the most overpaid player in the NBA.
Agreed.
And for Kevin to be the missing final piece to a championship, I mean, what a wonderful end for his legacy. But Knicks fans don't want Kevin Durant to be part of the Knicks because he once spurned them. It's like the right. girlfriend that once spurned you and then she comes back to you. It's like, no thanks. But I mean, it's going to be 52 years. I mean, like, are we going to be that choosy on which superstar? He's not in his prime, but he's still solid enough to be a piece that lifts you with most of the same cast to lift you past, you know, definitely Indiana, obviously,
right.
and maybe Boston. Horford's going to be a year older next year. I just think that that's a move that moves the needle. And, you know, other guys, listen, they have two first-round picks, 24 and 25. And I'm hearing that, yeah, they want to take them just to get depth pieces. That's not moving the needle to the NBA Finals. I'm looking at a championship. Scott Perry thought his job was to win one championship, break that drought. And Kevin Durant can do that. And you have to put, you know, bygones be bygones. Listen, the Brooklyn Nets, to team up with, it was Kyrie, honestly,
yep.
that was the facilitator of let's go to the Nets. And Kevin followed along. It was a terrible mistake. Harden, it might not have been as tragic a mistake if they didn't add Harden after. But I just think you got to forgive Kevin. He was following his friend Kyrie. It was obviously the wrong move. He should have came to the Knicks. But I think if they could get him with Julius and adding some of their picks that they have that they really don't want, they just want to trade. They have these picks not to use. They have these picks to trade.
Yeah.
And if Kevin's available, I think you got to go right after it. Devin Booker's probably, a better long-term fit.
Yes.
As he's much younger. But I think Kevin can make even a bigger impact in one season.
See, the for me, it's not even about KD anymore. It's more about the Suns and their ownership. It sounds like they're doubling down on the fact they want to keep all of the core three for them. And I guess I understand it because they don't really have moves. But if you look at the moves they have with them, they're even more limited. You can't really build around them. Like you said, Beal, in terms of his value, like I said, availability to your point, he doesn't play that often. When he does play, he doesn't push the needle or push it as far as he should. And I feel like that's the main issue that we have. He doesn't take it as far as he can do it with that team. They're just not built the right way for KD. KD needs other pieces around him, and I think, and other pieces on the bench that can allow him to thrive. He doesn't thrive with that. And I think sometimes he juggles between one, two, and three with all three of them. And he can't do that. He needs to have a defined role. And I think with the Suns, he just doesn't. If he comes to the Knicks, the only concern is how long does he hold up for? Because we don't know how many games he's going to go through Tom Thibodeau's system, if he's going to have any issue running through games, if he's going to need to miss games. Those are always the concerns. And then he's aging. And if he doesn't like what's going on and then he requests another trade, you just gave up assets for somebody that potentially doesn't want to stay. So I think all of those are potential factors there, right, Mark?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you can get two very, very good years out of Kevin. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, what's the alternative? The Philadelphia 76ers aren't handing over Joel Embiid to the Knicks, their division rival. These superstars are tough to find and tough to get in a trade. Mm-hmm. So if the Suns decide, or if Kevin tells Phoenix, listen, I really don't want to be here. I don't see a vision. I mean, then the Knicks have to explore it. And they have all these draft picks that they don't want to use. Thibodeau doesn't like playing rookies anyway. And I imagine on draft night, they package the two. If they can't put it in a blockbuster, they package the two to move up. You know, I think they just need one guy.
Right.
But I just think if Kevin's available, you got to go after it in a big way. And listen, Carl Anthony Towns is now in a good situation with Minnesota. Oh, and getting back to the Suns, they did lose to an excellent ball club in Minnesota that went to the conference final. So, I just think that you got to go after Kevin if he's available. It would be malpractice for Leon Rose not to.
I think he's going to pick up the phone to talk to basically everybody's available. But I said it before in a
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
In a different video at the different stream, the Knicks right now, they used to be the team that had to go out to get every star. But given the fact what they're building when healthy, I think they're being more selective with the star that they want to add. They want to add the right piece, the right fit, to your point, somebody who is durable, that can last a lot. That's why for me, and I guess this is the last thing we're going to talk about, my last question was the draft situation, but you kind of answered it by saying that they're likely going to use their picks to either trade up or classic Knick fashion, use one and then trade another one to move back, get more assets for the future, and then continue doing that. Either it's either going to be one or the other.
Yeah,
for
that's
Leon.
The Brock Aller method. Keep adding more draft picks that you never could trade.
Until you lock that on a superstar. But then it goes back to the point where you're primed now to get that superstar. And for me, I get the Kevin Durant situation. I understand it. That's not as realistic, but I'm going to bring up this next person, Mikal Bridges. He's also not realistic because you have a GM in Sean Marks in Brooklyn, who really doesn't know what he's doing over there. The Nets owner says that he wants to basically start anew. He wants to slowly rebuild, have a contender for the future. And then you have reports coming out saying Sean Marks wants to build around Mikal Bridges, which I think is a huge mistake. He's not the player you build around, and then have a star to attract to Brooklyn to play with them. So I understand that the Mikal Bridges trade is probably as least likely as the KD trade is right now. But if they both were available, do you think that Mikal Bridges offers the better fit and long-term option? Or would it still be KD for you in that situation?
To win one championship, it's KD. But getting to Mikal, Joe Tsai is not handing Bridges over to the Knicks.
Right.
It's franchise suicide. I know they've made a lot of bad maneuvers, but I mean, I just cannot imagine the Nets giving the Knicks Bridges. And it would be a great chemistry fit, I think, because of the three Nova guys. And listen, the three Nova guys is a terrific trio. But I think you need a little more upside to go to a championship than Mikal brings. He's a great Nova guy, and he's going to fit in very well. But does he make you a champion? And I'm not sure he makes you a champion. But the bigger point is, I can't imagine Tsai giving him to the Knicks. And Jalen, and there was a funny social media post, obviously, by Bridges the other day. Why don't you come to the Nets?
Right.
And Josh responds, are they holding you hostage?
Yeah,
listen. Listen, I want the Knicks to build around those three Nova guys. I just don't think that a fourth is gonna happen. But I'll tell you, Josh Hart and Jalen and Dante, it was a joy to watch them. The chemistry, the back cuts, and they know where each other is on the floor. I mean, it was watching that some of that run when they were playing at their best. It was really a joy. I'll tell you, the chemistry and the grit. And those three will be back.
Right.
But to win a championship, you need more. You just need more, and you need more health.
So, and the guys in the chat, I know you're lighting up right now. I wish I could get to all your questions, but unfortunately, Mark does have to go. We started a little bit late, unfortunately, with the stream. I do apologize for that. But I have one last question for Mark. It relates to a tweet that you had mentioned when the season was over regarding taking a long look at Leon Rose. I ask you about Leon Rose nearly in each and every single interview I do with you, because you always keep it 100% with me. You always do with Leon. And I think right now is another perfect time to do it, because I've actually switched. I used to be a little bit more anti-Leon because he wasn't doing anything. But this season, I felt like he did the right moves for the Knicks. He set us up in a good position. Now he has to take advantage of that. For me saying that Leon has had a good season and he's done right by the Knicks, what do you say in response to that? Would you agree, or do you think he has still more left to do?
I mean, it's really all about OG. They gave up so much for OG. And if in the future OG becomes a 75-game, a season, healthy in the playoffs performer, the Knicks are going to be very special next year again. But I have my doubts. I think Dante worked out very well. And one clarification, I know there was a tweet that, you know, people went nuts about when they signed Dante and traded Obi for a couple of basketballs. At the time, they didn't need a shooting guard. Yeah. They had IQ and they had RJ and they had Quentin Grimes. So it was just another shooting guard when they didn't have a power forward. So as the season wore on and they traded all their shooting guards, Dante became like incredibly important and was a huge key. I mean, he started off slow in the playoffs against Philly. He came on late in that series and then had a wonderful playoff, a terrific playoff against the Pacers. And that hopefully will carry through. He was money from the three-point line. He drives the basketball. He plays defense. He was sensational against Indiana. And I think the loss kind of overshadowed how amazing Dante was in that second round. But the question on whether Leon is considered a great GM is, what will OJ bring to the table next season? Mm-hmm. And, you know, his legacy, unfortunately, listen, the Jalen Brunson signing was miraculous.
Yes.
And I wrote it right before I retired. I had a story. It was the lead. It was after they had signed Jalen. And I had an anecdote that said at the very first meeting Leon Rose had with scouts, his scouts, he mentioned a couple of players on his wish list of players he'd love to bring into the organization. And he mentioned Jalen Brunson. And that was when Jalen Brunson was an average second round pick who was coming off the bench for Dallas. And some of the scouts who were no longer there, their eyebrows were like, Jalen Brunson? That's like one of the top guys on your wish list? They were stunned. And it's turned out so amazing. And I feel he's a first-team All-NBA player. I mean, I do think teams are going to adjust to him next year and treat him like a superstar and defend him like a superstar, because Indiana started to do that. But what he did in the playoffs was, to use your word, magical.
And that's a great way to end this, though. Started with magical, ended with magical. Mark, it is amazing to have you on. I thank you for so much of the time that you gave me, all the questions that you answered. Next time we have you on, we might do less of an interview and have more fan interaction, because there are so people love you. There are so many questions that I could probably have another hour with you if I wanted, with all the questions that we have here. Next time we'll do that, I promise you. But until then, we got to say goodbye to Mark. Mark, again, it was such a pleasure having you. So thankful for you always. Even though you're not part of the beat, I'm so happy to see some of your tweets sometimes about the Knicks here and there, talking about them and being able to give us some of your insight. Really appreciate you. And thank you so much for joining the show today.
I appreciate it, Trey, the kind words. I know a lot of Knicks fans have been very annoyed at some of the things I've put out there. But I mean, I try to be as truthful as possible. And right. Sometimes the truth will hurt a little bit.
Hey, listen, you're real. And I don't blame anybody for being real. So I appreciate you, Mark. Thank you so much for everything that you've given us. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day, sitting down with us, and giving so much insight about the Knicks. As for you guys, thanks so much for watching. And until next time, Knicks fans, peace.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.